This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's Friday, the 12th of August. 2022, 12:06 here in the studio. As you've just heard, I'm in the studio with
Lily Chai.
And of course, I am Rich Bradbury. We're going to be with you for around about 40 minutes, something like that. We're talking about Work Reimagined. We're looking at the Ernst & Young 2022 Work Reimagined Survey, and we're looking at some of the key takeaways. We'll be joined on air a little bit later on by Anil Chivadas from Ernst & Young Consulting Sundaram Bahat. So according to the Work Reimagined Survey, EY 2022, employees around the world, including Malaysia, have more influence in the job market, driven mostly by demand for better wages, career opportunities, and a thinning labour market, and more jobs offering flexible work arrangements. So some of the things that the survey revealed were that there's been massive changes in the way we work and how we approach work has caused a shift in the way we view our priorities in daily life. Absolutely 100%. I know people who have just changed everything. The pandemic has also played a part in speeding up these work realignment and altered our understanding of what success is, what purpose is, and what value is. Issues like rising inflation, the Great Resignation, even though some people didn't want to admit it was happening, it was clearly happening. ESG issues are also creating new levels of intricacies in today's work environment. This is a new dawn filled with fresh opportunities and a drive to understand the how, the what, and the why of work.
The survey seeks to understand the primary motivators of workforce turnover or retention. It also highlights focus areas that leaders can capitalize on. And some of the key findings in the surveys are both employers and employees acknowledge that making provisions for flexible or hybrid working work arrangements is becoming more of a necessity. And nearly 45% of respondents say that they will likely leave their jobs in the next year due to pay concerns and new opportunities. Mm-hmm. Gen Zs and millennials in the United States have been identified as the group that is highly likely to leave their jobs at 53% and working in a technology or a hardware industry at 60%. Employers who have been proactive in their approach to the modern work environment are optimistic about what's happening now and what's coming next in terms of changes to productivity and culture.
So both employers and employees see total rewards and diversity, equity and inclusion as areas that need greater attention and action. It goes to show we need to fully reimagine a workforce strategy that encompasses sustainability and is human-centered rather than profit-centered. By having a decisive response and recognizing the necessity of sustainable business transformation, employers can set the benchmark for how we can work towards and preserve the talent pipeline and future value. As we move towards the age of endemicity, most of us are still reeling from the after effects of a global pandemic. And in the initial stages, employers and employees focused on the short term to weather through what is widely considered a global health challenge. And as the world slowly recovers, attitudes and strategies towards work have evolved. The World Bank analysis predicts slowing economic growth and high inflation that will remain so in the coming years. And it also mentions the need for coordinated efforts to combat the severe costs of weather and climate disasters.
And all these factors have played a big part in influencing business investments and worker sentiments when it comes to when the Great Resignation gained massive traction around parts of the world. And in the last year, almost 70% of employers have reported that employee turnover increasing over the period of 1 year, which is 12 months. And work flexibility has become an expectation for most workers. And 80% of employees, they want to work at least 2 days at remotely weekly. Mm-hmm. And only 20% are reluctant to fully commit towards remote working compared to 34% last year, which is
quite
a huge jump.
Yeah.
And despite the overwhelming sentiment of employees wanting to work remotely, 22% of employers want their employees to return to the office 5 days a week. I wonder who. And this conflicting view of the hybrid / flexi work arrangement is an example that, you know, what can be seen as rebalancing work culture in favor of workers. Mm. And with the general workforce feeling empowered and the labor market opening up, employers are starting to question if their organizations are developing the correct cultures. Only 57% of employers agree their culture has improved since the pandemic started, compared to 77% last year. And on the other hand, more than 60% of employees agree that their company culture has improved, compared to less than 50% back in 2021.
Okay, so despite employers trying to adapt to these shifting workforce balances, worker exodus has been reported to have risen. This could boil down to varying employer sentiments, which could be broken down into three distinct groups. So let's take a look at those. There's the optimists, and they're at 32%. So these are employers who are proactive in how they approach flexible work. Real estate and tech are likely to agree that they've seen positive outcomes. They provide clarity to their employees and embrace change. And these businesses have a strategic direction with an eye on the prize. By being consistent, strategic, and cross-functional, these businesses believe they're heading their own course. Mm. Of course, then, there is the pessimists at 11%. So employers in this category feel disenfranchised. This translates into less investment in clear action towards improving technology or rigidity in their work flexibility or office culture. These employers maintain a wait-and-see attitude while the labour market and overall labour market shifts again and again. They're not positioned to attract new talent, and veterans may be heading out the door, which brings down the company's competitiveness. Mm.
And the third group is massive middle at 57%. This is where most employers are at the moment, without a clear direction on productivity and culture outcomes. There is an opportunity for the employer to work towards a positive strategy that can help attract talents that could grow the company. Now, inflationary pressures, we can't talk about, you know, flexibility without this. A wider acceptance for remote working and lower barriers for finding new jobs have allowed almost 80% of employees to value total pay and other tangible benefits. So employers acknowledge that the pandemic has brought forward the need to look into rewards policy that covers compensation, well-being, flexible benefits, and all of that. And the survey also revealed that a massive gap between what employers are looking for and what employers think the workers need.
Right, yeah.
So this top three requirements that employees value are increased wages, work flexibility, and better career advancement. Upskilling, right?
Yep.
And employers surveyed put forward learning and skills, work flexibility, and investments in employee well-being as three factors that they think workers would need to thrive in their work environment.
So this Ernst & Young 2022 Work Reimagined Survey helps show the differences in the vision employees and employers have when it comes to workplaces. Both sides agree flexibility and the hybrid work model is going to be the new norm. Employees are willing to seek greener pastures when it comes to advancing their career and provides a better salary. The uncertain economic climate brought on by inflation and labor costs have made employers think twice about adjusting wages and career opportunities. If companies don't address pay equity, company culture, productivity, and talents will be lost to turnover. Now, by taking steps to address work concerns and to come to a compromise, businesses can build trust and work towards the futures. So, let's have a chat about this, folks, who are listening in at home. Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, as per usual, and on Twitter at BFM Radio. You guys at home, I know we've asked this question before, but any of you thinking about considering switching jobs anytime soon? Let us know if you are and tell us why. And we'll keep it a little bit anonymous so we can have that discussion about it. We won't reveal your names. But if you are, let us know. And for employers, let us know if it's been difficult in hiring people. That'll be interesting to find out as well. Now, we've been talking about this great resignation since forever. And, you know, have you had friends who have recently switched jobs? What were their reasons for doing so? And were they happier where they are now? Mm. Have you had friends who have switched during the pandemic?
No,
No.
No, not really. How about you?
Yeah, lots. Mm. People have literally quit doing the 9-to-5, 5 days a week office job, and they've stopped doing that entirely, and they're now doing stuff like woodworking and gardening and all of those things that I think a lot of people wanted to do during the pandemic, you know, in their free time. Mm-hmm. They've now made it their careers, and they're doing stuff that they feel speaks to their heart rather than their wallet, which seems to be the direction that I see a lot of people moving in.
Right. But how have your priorities changed?
My priorities in particular, I've noticed myself become a lot, particularly in the last year, I've become a lot less stressed because I'm thinking a lot less about work. Yeah. and I've made that conscious decision to think a lot less about work, which is a hard thing to say because work has been everything for the last 20-something, 30-something years. And to make that decision and go, you know, I'm now working to live. Do you know what I mean?
You don't live to work, but work to live.
Yeah. I mean, I'm having a bit more of a time where I now am able to think about why my life is important and how this isn't everything, you know?
Right.
But that's, you know, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. But of course, we want to get into the findings of this survey in a bit more detail, a bit more granular. We're going to be hearing from Anil Shivadas, the partner for People Advisory Services at Ernst & Young Consulting. He'll be with us on the phone after these messages. And to take us into the break, we've got The Killers with When You Were Young. Oh, that hurts. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Burger, fries, Milo. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Lily Chai.
You're not sounding as excited as you did at the beginning of the show.
Oh.
It's Friday, Lily.
There you go.
Folks, if you want to get in touch with us, don't forget how to do it. Get us via WhatsApp. 018-789-8899 is the number to get us at. You can get us on Twitter as well. We are at BFM Radio. We're giving you a bit of a rundown of some of the highlights, some of the key points from the EY 2022 Work Reimagined Survey, where employees around the world, including Malaysia, have more influence in the job market, driven mostly by demand for better wages, career opportunities, a thinning labor market, and more jobs offering flexible work arrangements. That's what we've been speaking about. If you did miss any part of this show so far, the podcast will be up around 1 o'clock this afternoon, wherever you normally get it from. We recommend the BFM app. That's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. We had a bit of a chat just before the break about whether or not some of our friends have gone on to do things and why they've gone on to do it. And, you know, we've had the odd person here in the office who've left to do their own thing as well, and they seem to be quite happy in what they're doing. You know, and it's nice to see people pursuing a different direction and finding purpose within their life, right? So that's nice to hear about. Now, so we've spoken about it, but we should probably get a bit more of a granular insight, perhaps. And we've got Anil Shivadas. He's the partner for People Advisory Services over at Ernst & Young Consulting, Sundarin Berhad. So, Anil, while 22% of employers in Malaysia agree that providing opportunities to progress career-wise is a means to address employee turnover, only 8% of them are willing to review the competitiveness of their compensation programs. So what, in your opinion, is the reason for this?
Reviewing and adjusting compensation will impact the cost of doing business. Businesses are on a recovery mode coming out from the pandemic, and the last thing they want to do is to increase the cost of doing business at this point in time. And perhaps employers view adjustment in compensation as a short-term measure to retaining employees and would rather focus on the HR interventions that yields a longer-term benefit to the company.
Mm. Okay, so while more than 80% of Malaysian employees believe that the new ways of working have increased productivity, which I agree, the employer's confidence is eroding fast, with less than half of Malaysian employers perceiving increased productivity. Why is this disparity there?
The data indicates a misalignment in perception and expectations between employers and employees. Right? These days, more employers are starting to expect their employees to come back to work in the office. However, employees still want to work remotely or on a hybrid basis. So with part team in the office and part team on virtual, this may be impacting the confidence of employers regarding the productivity of their people.
Okay. 44% of employees say pay increases are needed to address staff turnover, while only 16% of employers agree. Is this because employers are worried about the bottom line? And of course, this question is related to what we started off with.
The data indicates a misalignment in what employers and employees deem as important to address staff turnover. Of course, from an employee perspective, compensation is important to them. But for employers, they need to manage cost of doing business. This tension between employees and employers will always be there. However, this time around, employees seem to be more vocal about how important compensation is to them.
Okay, besides compensation, let's talk about, you know, flexi work arrangements, right? So only 16% of Malaysian employers say that they want their employees to come back to the office 5 days a week. But only 95% of employees want to work remotely for at least 2 days a week. So are the remaining 84% of employers already offering some sort of, you know, hybrid working arrangements?
This demonstrates that majority of both employers and employees would want hybrid work arrangements instituted in their organizations. And this is consistent with what I'm seeing on the ground and when I interact with employers and employees in the market. Seldom do I hear of employers saying that they require all their staff to be back in the office on a full-time basis. We have grown accustomed to remote work arrangements, but at the same time realize there is still value in face-to-face interactions in the office, especially during times of collaboration and engagement with fellow colleagues.
Right. So the majority of Malaysian employees, I think it's around 70%, believe that their organization's culture has improved since the beginning of the pandemic, with only around 30% of employers who agree with that statement. I mean, and that's a big difference. Why do you think this is the case?
As time goes by, there is an increasing number of employers who expect their employees to come back to the office, but employees are still preferring to work remotely and on hybrid basis. So perhaps employees are feeling that the employee engagement and collaboration is still not where it used to be, thus impacting levels of productivity and also the culture.
Okay, final question. What, in your opinion, are the ways that companies can try to engage their staff, their employees, more effectively in terms of, you know, culture and productivity?
Five things that companies can do. Number one, operationalize hybrid work models, which is really about establishing guidelines and policies so staff are clear on how they should work on a hybrid basis. Number two, reinvent the workplace, which is rethinking about how to utilize the workplace more effectively. For example, creating more collaboration spaces for staff. Number three, create the work technology experience, which is staying up to date with collaborative tools to ensure staff continue to stay productive. Number four, reshape and optimize reward programs and career frameworks, which is about revisiting talent attraction and retention strategies and plans. Listen to what is important to employees and take the necessary action. If not, organizations will face losing their talent to other organizations. And lastly, define culture and organizational networks. Be clear on what behaviors and culture you want to drive within your organization and leverage formal levers such as training, performance management, as well as informal levers such as leadership role modeling and internal influencer networks to drive the desired behaviours internally.
Thank you very much for that, Anil. I mean, there's some stuff there that, you know, is kind of evergreen, this pushback between employer and employee, what they want, what we want, you know, and that's going to be around forever. Stuff like training as well, I think, is extremely important in the modern workplace moving forward as well, because people realise that the skills that they've had are relevant, but they are changing on such a rapid basis that some of the skills are outdated.
I think it's, especially when tech has developed so much during the pandemic, it's if you don't upskill, right, you don't provide training to your employees, it's very, you will, your the skills that they have will become obsolete.
Yeah.
And then you'll fall behind, basically.
Even stuff like, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, we were looking at various different platforms of how we could work in this hybrid model. So
Right. You'd
have one app to do your meetings. You'd have another app to do your messages. You'd have, you know.
Yeah.
And it was only a few weeks ago that I interviewed a company that provide all of that.
All in one, right?
Yeah. One login. It organizes your meetings, your video conferencing, everything, all under one umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even though that platform existed way before the pandemic, mm-hmm. it's only now coming to light that these kind of tools
right.
existed and can be utilized. And
mm-hmm.
there are companies clearly looking at the numbers that are out in this survey that say that they're not willing or haven't even found out about some of these tools and don't want to use them and still remain in that mindset of, well, okay, now that the pandemic has shifted, we can just go back to how things were. And we really can't.
I mean, we said this before the show, right? We know what is important to us right now, especially our mental health, right? Mm. We don't want to be stuck in the traffic for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Every day traveling, I think the level of productivity has increased because one of it is this, right?
Yeah.
And we did a show on, you know, how traffic jams has an impact on our mental state and how we work at our productivity will be affected as well when it comes to things like that. So it's something that we should look into.
Yeah. And I know we have a producer here, Jeremy, who's been helping us out with this particular show, who has to travel an enormous amount of distance every day to get here and back.
Exactly.
I don't know how he holds it together sometimes, honestly, after commuting for that length of time and then still getting up and you know, helping out with this kind of show. I would lose my mind. Yeah. Anyway, it's pretty much time for us to wrap up, of course. But we do want to thank our guest for appearing on today's show, Anil. Thank you very much for that. Of course, it is Anil Shivadas. He's the partner for People Advisory Services over at Ernst & Young Consulting. We're going to wrap up for today and, of course, for this Friday. And as I mentioned earlier on, if you did miss any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast. It will be up very shortly, just after the 1 o'clock news, wherever you normally get your podcast from. Coming up, though, of course, after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. We have the president of ASEAN and APAC distributor markets for the Ford Motor Company. And for over a century, Ford Motors has been one of America's top car companies, delivering their trucks and their SUVs to the hands of consumers globally. But as the supply chain issue continues to worsen and inflation concerns rise, will the carmaker be able to remain profitable and grow in a region not so familiar with the brand name? The Breakfast Grill spoke with Ford ASEAN's president to understand the challenges she faces in a post-COVID era for the auto industry, as well as Ford's EV strategies for the region. All very interesting stuff. All coming up after the 1 o'clock news. And to take us up there, we've got some music. And of course, we'll start off with a little bit of Ocean Colour Scene with Up on the Downside. On behalf of myself and Lily Chai, this has been Enterprise Biz Bites for this week here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.